Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
Philosopher or sorcerer? That is the great debate.
Is it?
No. Okay. I think one's just the British title and one's the American.
Anyway. Welcome. Welcome to Teenage Dirtbags, the podcast. We're a podcast that rates and reviews teen movies, and we relate them to our own dumb lives. I'm Maddie.
I'm Carly.
This one's going to be hard to relate to because we're not witches and wizards. Well, that being said, I have a freaking lot to say.
I mean, I don't even know where to begin with this because it is such an important part of our childhood.
I know.
As it is with so many of our peers.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a hard one to just... to really emphasize how much this movie means to us and just the books in general.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. You worded that correctly. Do we have anything really quickly to get into preface-wise?
I don't know. You have a marriage and children still. Yeah. I don't.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. Lord. I mean, what would our listeners even care to know about us at this point?
Not much.
Not much.
That's fine. Let's just get into Harry Potter. I really do have a lot to say about it.
I feel like we will once we get going.
Yeah, I think so too.
Do you want me to do a little facts?
Yeah. So let's just, while you're looking that up, I'll just say that we're obviously doing the first movie. We're doing the first movie of Harry Potter, Philosopher/Sorcerer's Stone, depending on where you are in the world.
Well, it's the movie is Philosopher's Stone.
Is it not? Is it not different in, depending on where you are?
I don't know.
Well, anyway. Okay, Carly, we'll do the facts.
Oh, it says Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, and then in small print below it, it says Sorcerer's Stone, brackets, original title.
Okay, cool.
So that didn't really help us, but okay, so.
I'm going to do the song while you do the facts, okay? I'll do it really quietly.
Okay. The log line for this movie is an orphaned boy enrolls in a school of wizardry. Okay, why can't I talk today?
Oh. I'm distracting you with my song.
By the way, this says it's written by Carly. So, guys, log line was written by...
Oh, God, you?
Carly without an E.
A bitch.
An orphaned boy enrolls in a school of wizardry, wizardry, where he learns the truth about himself, his family, and the terrible evil that haunts the magical world. This movie is rated PG.
Sure.
And it came out November 16th, 2001.
Oh my God, that's my anniversary. That's my wedding anniversary. That is a fucking sign. Get out.
Wow.
That is amazing. For anybody who doesn't know, who doesn't know me and like personally, I'm a huge Harry Potter fan.
Yes.
And I used to be a Harry Potter tour guide.
Yes.
And I would argue to say Harry Potter's been a very large part of my life. When somebody sees a Harry Potter thing, they often send it to me.
Yes,
like
they
a
do.
Meme or a TikTok.
Your bridal, what is it called?
My bridal shower was Harry Potter themed. Like, I'm a pretty big Harry Potter fan. So the fact that my anniversary is on the release day, that's actually
because Mike
really
also likes Harry Potter.
He does, yeah.
Because you two, when I lived with you two, you guys would often talk about Harry Potter trivia because didn't you do that quiz game?
I don't remember, but Mike is actually shockingly good
I know.
At Harry Potter.
He would,
like, knows things that I'm like, what?
You guys would do this quiz thing on your phone. It was like an app. And one of the days, it was Harry Potter themed. You can like win money on this app.
Oh, HQ or whatever.
Yes.
Oh my God, I haven't thought of that.
It would be like, what's the spell that like,
you
know, fixes the Harry's glasses? And Mike would be like,
Oculus Reparo.
Wow. Okay, you both are nerds. Okay. Okay. Director of this movie is Christopher Columbus. The screenplay is by Steve Kloves, and obviously the novels are by J.K. Rowling. Scandal noted.
Scandal noted. Yeah, noted, and we're moving past it for now. We're not going to talk about it.
We're not going to talk about that. It's starring Daniel Radcliffe, Rupert Grint,
Emma Watson,
you know, Maggie Smith. Who else?
Alan Rickman.
Yes.
Richard Harris.
Robbie Coltrane. Fiona Shaw. Freaking love Fiona Shaw. You know, everyone. Okay.
Emma Thompson, not yet.
Not yet.
Michael Gambon, not yet. Ralph Fiennes, not yet.
Yeah, Ralph Fiennes, not yet. Is that it?
Did I say everything? Gary Oldman, not yet.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, good enough.
Did I say everything?
Who cares? Everybody knows what fucking Harry Potter is. Like, let's be serious.
Okay.
So before we get into the movie, let's talk about the book for just a second.
Yeah.
Or like not even the book, but the Harry Potter in our lives.
Yeah.
Because we are born in 1989 and 1990, respectively.
Yeah.
And Harry Potter came out, I think it came out in 96, like the book.
Right.
But the movie, as you said, it came out in 2001. Harry Potter turns 11. We turned 11.
I know.
So we are, I turned 12 or whatever. Like, we were right around that age. And
yeah,
we were pretty similar in ages to Harry Potter in the movies as they were getting released.
That's why it was so fun, because we were the same age as the actors. We grew up with them. They were our friends. I was 11 when the movie came out, just like, you know, supposedly Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah.
It was just so magical.
Yeah. It was fantastic.
And I think, I don't think I read the book until 2000. I think I was in grade 5 when I read the book.
I would say something like that for me, too. I was not 6.
No.
I was a little bit older, but I think I was grade 5.
Yeah.
I think I was about grade 5.
And it was truly, I mean, we're talking as if this is like a niche. Like, this is like, everyone knows this experience.
Right.
But it was like life-changing for me.
There's no, other than our generation, there's no one who will experience this how we did.
I don't know. I think younger generations, it's different. But I think younger generations are still
into it. No, that's fine. That's not what I'm saying. I was at the midnight releases for the books, for the movies.
The midnight screenings.
The midnight screening, it was huge. It was a huge deal. I remember, like, it was such a big, everyone went. We would miss class that day or the next day, whatever it needed to be.
I know.
It was a huge thing. And we all were the same age
at
that time that it was being released. I understand that there's nothing stopping an 11-year-old watching, a current 11-year-old watching the first movie.
Yeah.
They're 11, and then they're like, they're 11. Great. But it was the release day. It was everything.
So my friend has a kid who's now, well, he's in grade 9, so I don't know. He's like 14. But like a few years ago, I was like, can I give your kid the first book?
Yeah.
Like, I need your child to be into Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Gave him the first book. He blasted through it. Was like, yeah, I liked it.
Oh.
He read the entire series in like 2 months.
Yeah.
He watched all the movies.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh my gosh, like, how much do you love it? He's like, yeah, it was all right.
Yeah.
Like, he was not moved by the experience. And I was like,
I fear that my kids will be the same. I hope, I don't need them to be obsessed with it, but I want them to understand how big this was. Because the other thing I want to note, as we kind of joked about when you were saying the actors, just to go to the movie for a second. Yes, the three main actors were unknown kids. And Draco Malfoy. Like, there was all the kids were kind of unknown. The, like, British icons, like, award-winning. It wasn't like, oh, like, I'm not saying, you know, movies are shit now. But, like, the people that were in this movie.
Yeah.
That they cast in this movie were iconic. Are iconic. Yeah. Like, it was so, I mean, I can't speak for adults at the time. Obviously, we weren't adults. But.
Yeah.
I would imagine that even adults could have sort of enjoyed this by seeing, oh, there's Maggie Smith. Dame Maggie Smith.
I know.
Dame Emma Thompson, Sir Gary Oldman, like, goodbye.
I know.
Like,
I actually wrote down that the casting in this is just impeccable.
It's impeccable. And I remember reading, I hope this is true. I remember seeing that when they were casting, they, you know, of course there were American people who auditioned.
Yeah.
American icons.
Yeah.
But it was very, they were very adamant on it just being British people.
Yeah. Which I think,
thank God. Yeah.
Like, yeah. I guess it was like Gary Oldman was like the exception, or is he British?
No, he's British.
Oh. Oh, okay. So I can't even think of an American that they would have.
I think it was like, I think I read somewhere that like maybe Robin Williams auditioned for something. And like, look, I love Robin Williams more than you could ever imagine. But like,
he probably was Hagrid.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe Hagrid or something. But maybe
no, Robbie Coltrane is perfect.
I know. I might be pulling that out of my ass. I don't know if it was Robin Williams. But like, I don't know. You know, other iconic people who might be Sir or Dame or whatever. Yeah. But, you know.
And it's such a risky, like, I remember when the casting process was, like, happening,
mm-hmm.
because there was a girl in our class who, I don't even know if this is true. I should reach out to her and see if this is true. But she got to, like, round 3 of being, what's her name? Harry's love interest in, like,
Cho Chang?
Yeah, Cho Chang.
I remember.
The only Asian person in the series is named Cho Chang. Oh,
God. Let's talk about race for a moment. So we are going to talk about J.K. Rowling now for a minute. Somebody pointed out, obviously, Cho Chang is a big one. The only, like, prominent Asian person is named Cho Chang.
Yeah.
Somebody also pointed out, what's that guy's name? Kingsley Shacklebolt.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, oh, my God. He's a black character. And his name was Kingsley Shacklebolt. And I was like, or Bolt, whatever his name is. And I was like, oh my God. Anyway.
Well.
We don't need to get too much into it. But like.
There were hints along the way, weren't there?
There were a little bit of hints about the, you know, the
underlying
personality of. Yeah. But anyway, let's not get too much into that. But.
I've also heard different things about the you know, goblins, but we won't get into it.
We won't get into it because that's going to be dangerous. But.
Yeah.
I think that, and I want to say this, I know I've said this before, and I'm sorry to be, you know, beat a dead horse, but I used to be a Harry Potter tour guide.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've been.
And not just a Harry Potter, like, you lived in London, England, so, and were a Harry Potter tour guide.
Yeah, I know. I had the best fucking life. I can't lie. So like, let me just tell this story really fast. I won't go on to it forever. But we moved to London, me and three of my friends. I've said this countless times. And when we moved there, I couldn't find a job. My friend Helene found this job on the, like, a job website called Gumtree that was, they were looking for a tour guide for a tour group called Muggle Tours. And she goes, you gotta do this. And I was like, a tour guide? I'd rather die. Like, right. I hate public talking, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I auditioned and
you would be
it.
So good at it though.
I was actually, I can't lie, I was really good. Yeah. I got really into it. It was super fun. It was one of the best jobs I've ever had and I'll still stand by that. It was flexible. I did a 2-hour walking tour around London.
Wow.
Sometimes twice, three times a day.
Wow.
Yeah. And I would just, like, talk about it was
sometimes twice, three times a day. What does that mean?
Like, sometimes I would do, it was a 2-hour walking tour, so I would do a walking tour and then I'd have another tour at 2 hours later. So sometimes I would have, sometimes it would be one tour a day, sometimes it'd be three.
I see. Okay.
And I would do, there was also other movie, like, a lot of stuff is filmed in London, so we'd be like, this is Bridget Jones's apartment, this is whatever, but it was a lot of Harry Potter, obviously.
So what was some of the locations? I know I've asked you this before, but I forget.
That's okay. The Millennium Bridge, of course, which is across the River Thames, which is where the Death Eaters blow it up.
Yeah.
And they also fly along the River Thames later on in the series.
Yeah.
Chez Michelle, which was a floral shop, which was the in the third movie.
Okay.
It was the Leaky Cauldron. Oh, sorry. Yeah, the Leaky Cauldron, where the night bus drives up to.
Yeah.
That's where we were. Oh, no, I just heard someone at our door, but that's too bad for them. And then, sorry, Harvey's barking. Beep, 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 beep.
Did you get a package?
I didn't order anything.
Oh. Who would be at your door?
I don't know. They also didn't ring our doorbell, so.
I think it's a package.
Maybe. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
It was a very quick knock.
Yeah, it's probably a package. I don't know what it could be. Anyway, and I can't think of.
Anyways, the point is, it's cool.
The Westminster tube station, which where Arthur Weasley can't get it. Like, it was amazing.
Cool.
It was so much fun.
Cool.
And it was just the best job I've ever had. And so I have a real close love for Harry Potter, is what I'm trying to get.
I do too. I don't know the books as well as you guys. I've only read the series once.
That's insane. I kind of want to reread it.
Actually, I've read the first book a couple times, actually. I reread, well, there's so much to talk about.
I know.
You know, a few years ago when it was the 20th anniversary of the first book?
Sure.
I sent out anonymous letters to people.
Yeah.
That welcomed them to Secret Society of the Forbidden Forest.
Yes, I remember this. And I have, right there.
What?
The bottle.
Right, okay. So, during the 20th anniversary, I sent people secretly.
This is the coolest thing ever.
I don't know. There are probably 20 of my friends who I knew liked Harry Potter. I sent them these envelopes, and it was stamped, like, with the what's it called? The wax.
Oh, yeah.
The Hogwarts wax, you know. Yeah. I gave them a map to this certain spot on this trail that, like, has a little path you'd have to walk through, and then there's, like, this little area in the forest that's, like, open, so you can sit around. And so...
with no idea if people were going to show up.
I had no idea if anyone was going to show up because, like, no one knew it was from me. So then I had the music going, and I made that Horcrux symbol on the path.
Not the Horcrux symbol.
What's that symbol?
Deathly Hallows.
Whatever, yeah. I put that symbol on the path so they knew where to, like, stop. And then I had the music going so they could sort of walk through the trail and sort of hear it.
Yeah.
And then we read the book aloud together for the next couple of weeks. We did
I went to one of them. I have a butterbeer bottle that you made.
And my friend Chris Jardin and my friend Rachel, they are really theatrical. They have, like, a very theatrical voice.
Mm-hmm.
Voices. And so they ended up being, at first we took turns, but then we were just like, let's just let them read it because they're so good at it. And by like, I mean, I think there was one day where like, there was like 25 of us all just like drinking wine, listening to them read us Harry Potter. Like, and we had like the twinkle lights and stuff. That's like, it was so awesome. It was very magical. And I feel like I've really lost a bit of my whimsy with doing fun things like that.
Yeah, I tell that story a lot about that.
Because now really... I think about that, I'm like, that took so much work.
Yeah. But it was super fun when you did that.
It was really fun. And it was during a time where I lived with my friends, Chris and Caitlin. And Caitlin was pregnant. Right. And so they had their first kid, Freddie. And so I would read to Freddie in Caitlin's stomach. Anyway, it was just a very, like, sort of magical time. Okay, do you have any memory of... Did you have more to say about your London experience?
No. No.
Okay.
I love Harry Potter.
Do you remember the first time you ever saw this movie?
I do. Yeah. I think I do. I'm almost certain I saw it in theaters.
I did.
And I don't think I saw it on release day, but I saw it a couple days later, and I took the day off of school.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Like, our parents took us, sort of thing. Like, it was a huge deal.
That's just...
And I kind of remember my friend Christina and her family saw it a couple days before, and she was like, it was so good. And then I got to see it, I think it was, like, a Thursday. Like, Lord knows why I remember that, but I remember, like, missing math class or whatever it was.
Amazing.
To go see it, so... Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I saw it in theaters with my mom and Kevin, my brother. And as some of you may not know, when I was in grade 4, I developed a panic attack disorder. And so by the time I was in grade 6, I had been diagnosed with panic attacks, agoraphobia, stuff like that. And so one of my triggers was going to the movie theater.
Oh, no.
Even though the movies were my favorite place, for some reason, I would sit in a movie theater surrounded by strangers. It's okay. I would be surrounded by strangers in a movie theater, and I would get panic attacks. Sure. And it was really frustrating for me because I love movies so much. So that happened to me with this one. And I was so frustrated because I was so excited to see this movie. And it was the first time I ever took Ativan.
Oh.
Yeah, so my mom was like, take Ativan before we talked to the doctor and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh my and we God. Were like, can we... give Carly this before we watch Harry Potter because she wants to see it, but she gets these attacks when she goes to the movie theater. So this is what happened. I was in the movie theater and I remember feeling like I was going to have a panic attack and I was going to have to leave. By the way, it was the first time I saw the trailer for A Walk to Remember.
Jesus Christ. How do you remember that? That's insane.
I just remember being like, I must see that movie.
Okay. Well, accurate.
Yeah. But I remember the panic attacks were coming on, and then all of a sudden I got the thing that Ativan does.
Yeah.
Where you're, like, completely at ease.
Yeah.
And then that John Williams score kicks in with the WB, logo. And I remember just being, like, in. And I was, like, not only was I, like, a little bit, like, I guess high, but I was, like, having, like, the best experience. Like, this movie, I was just, like, I wanted the movie to last 8 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Can I tell a quickly similar story?
Yeah.
Similar-ish. It's not about the movies, unfortunately, but it is about Harry Potter.
Okay.
I might have told this on the podcast before. I apologize in advance. But my friend Helene and I, and we'll get to the movie after this, I promise. My friend Helene and I went to Florida a few years ago. Have I told this story on the podcast?
Yes. Not on the podcast, I don't think.
Okay. So we went to Florida a few years ago. I probably shouldn't have said her name, but sorry. went to Florida and we went to Universal Studios. I'd never been.
Yeah.
And we went to Harry Potter, obviously.
Yeah.
And somebody, that's something I'll keep... not somebody gave us a muffin that is within whatever, doesn't matter, an edible muffin, and they said, do not eat the whole thing, there's one, and they said, have a quarter each and then see how you feel and then have the other quarter each and that's it. Great, fine. So we, you know, we do Universal, and then as we're approaching Harry Potter, like, we're 30 minutes away from getting to Harry Potter, whatever, we were like, let's do it now. So we take a quarter each, feel great, go to Harry Potter. And the way that Harry Potter is, not to spoil it for anyone who hasn't been, it looks like the London Tube station of Leicester Square, and then you, like, go behind a wall, and then suddenly you're in Diagon Alley.
Right.
Like, it's incredible. And I think I started sobbing. Like, I was high at this point. And it's my dream. Like, it was just, it's beautiful. Ugh,
I
want to
go so bad.
It was so cool. And then blah, 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 blah. We went on one of the rides. Helene is not a ride person. We went on one of the rides and we were at this point very high.
Too high at this point.
Too high.
Yeah.
I think we had the other quarter at this point and it was not okay. We shouldn't have done that. Now, let me say, the ride was called Escape from Gringotts. And the line is like 2.5 fucking hours. Like, it's insane.
Right.
But you are entertained from start to finish.
Right.
The whole way, there's videos, there's little goblins, there's this. Like, you're completely entertained.
Yeah.
We get on the ride. We instantly both have panic attacks.
No.
You're in Gringotts. You're in one of those carts, the mine carts. You're being thrown around. And Voldemort comes. And I start sobbing. And I'm like, this is where we die. We are about to be murdered by Voldemort.
Oh, this is why I would just...
I was sobbing. We're both sobbing. We're holding hands. We're sobbing. Whatever. We get through the thing. We get out of the ride, off the ride.
Yeah.
There's children in our cart.
Yeah.
We're with young, tiny little children who were fine.
Yeah.
And then we realize this whole ride wasn't a ride. It was a standalone thing that was just moving side to side. And there was a fucking video screen in front of us. We weren't even riding.
You didn't know that?
Nope. We weren't even riding anything. You literally are just in a big mine cart that is jolting you forward and backward. You're not moving. You do not move. And we were freaking out. We're sobbing. Oh my God. It was.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny. I would never in a million years take any kind of edible before going to an amusement park. Ever.
I've never done it before.
And didn't you guys. Okay. I mean, oh my gosh. The episode's going to be 8 hours. But didn't you guys do that on a flight?
Yeah, we don't need to get into that.
Like
That was stupid. That was in Amsterdam, though. Couldn't help ourselves.
I know.
What are you supposed to do in Amsterdam? Not get high? Come on.
You know I'm a bad flyer anyways. Yeah. That would be the end of it for me.
It was, that's another day. That's a story for another day.
Okay.
The movie. we don't have to go beat by beat, obviously.
No, no, no,
we know what the thing is. But I will tell you this. Mike and I watched this movie recently, obviously. And we did not stop talking this entire time.
I wish I was there.
Movie.
We should watch one tonight. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we can watch one tonight.
Which one are you watching next?
We've already seen the second, so we're on the third now.
Oh, so you're at Azkaban, which is your favorite, isn't it?
My favorite one. Sure is.
Mine's Goblet.
We can watch two of them. We have nothing to do. Anyway.
Okay.
This movie.
Okay. So obviously, everyone knows it's The Boy Under the Stairs.
Yeah.
He's living with his aunt, uncle, and his cousin, Dudley.
Yeah. Mike and I are terrified that our son is going to become Dudley.
Why?
Because he did one thing. Because my son, McCartney, was being a really... He's a toddler. Like, he's, you know, shitty sometimes. And he was being especially shitty this week of when we watched it. And, like, and it was his birthday. It was also around McCartney's birthday.
Like, last year, I had 37 presents.
How many are there? Mike and I, whenever we're like, McCartney, how many are there? The other one goes, how many are there? We just do that all the time. It's the funniest thing in the world to us. But we, in the movie, he was like throwing a temper tantrum. Dudley was a 14 year old or whatever. He is 11, I guess.
Yeah, he's probably 11.
Throwing a tantrum about presents, and we were like, oh no,
okay, well,
this gonna be our son.
I think you're fine.
I hope so.
You're fine, don't worry. So yeah, it's Dudley's birthday. I mean truly Harry,
and they're all normal people at this point.
I mean, Harry doesn't know he's a wizard. But Harry is truly in a situation of child abuse.
Yes.
At one point, Mr. Dudley, what's his first name?
Vernon. And his last name is Dursley, not Dudley. Dudley is the child.
Right, Dursley. At one point, he says to Harry, like, no funny business today or else you won't eat for a week.
Yes, and he lives under the stairs. Like, he's pretty shit, but also, he's taken in by this family.
I know, but he's really treated so horribly.
Of course he is.
And I know that, okay, I don't want to jump ahead too much, but... Do they have any redemption at the end of the series? I can't remember.
Dudley does. Yeah. And Vernon and Petunia sort of do, yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
So they're kind of like...
They're like, become not horrible.
Okay.
They're not great, but they're not horrible.
I'm excited to watch the rest of the series now that I started the first one. Because just for everyone to know, I watched it last night in bed by myself. And I wasn't overly looking forward to it because I'm like, ugh, 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it's a long movie.
I've seen this movie like a bunch of times and I loved it.
Yeah. Mike and I, we the first two, admittedly, I don't love.
Mm-hmm.
I've also seen the first three probably 10,000 times. So when you watch it again, you're like, ugh. Mike and I had such a good time watching it.
I know. It's so fun.
And it made us laugh so much because there's so many things that we noticed
throughout
that we were like, pardon? So the Dursleys are muggles. If anyone doesn't know what a muggle is, it's a non-magic person. And Harry is... raised as a muggle. He doesn't realize he's a wizard. On his 11th birthday, he finds out he's a wizard. Hagrid comes, gets him, and literally kidnaps him and takes him to a Diagon Alley.
I wrote down, because you know how like the letters all come shooting out, and then Vernon is like, that's it, we're leaving.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to like a random house on a huge rock in the middle of the ocean. Yeah. I'm like, where would they have found that house?
It does mention it in the book, I'm pretty sure.
It does.
Yeah, it talks because they're on an island. I don't think it's quite so like, you know,
series of unfortunate events. In the movie, it's like a big rock.
Yeah, it's psychotic. It's obviously, it infuriates me that as a mother now, as I'm watching this, so Hagrid shows up to this rock island and says, Harry, you're a wizard, Harry, blah, 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 on your 11th birthday, blah, 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 we know. And takes him to Diagon Alley and says, like, okay, here we go. And I understand that Harry is being basically abused. Yes. He does not ask any further questions. He's literally like, okay, I will go with this literal giant.
Yeah.
And just go.
Well, I think Harry kind of knows he's different.
Yes, fine. Because
he, like, you know, the glass but, like, thing. He talked to a snake.
Right. He's not asking any questions. Not one question.
I know.
Like, he
That's
literally...
how shitty his life is. He's like, I will literally go with this hairy giant, then stay with this family.
Yeah, that's fair. But there's things that, like... Okay, so this takes place... It was filmed in 95, 96... Or, sorry, pardon me. It's filmed in the 2000s.
Yeah, probably 2000.
But it takes place in the 90s. Like, this actively is the 90s.
Okay, sure.
Or, sorry, I think... Sorry, that's not true. I think... Oh, God, I should know these dates. It's somewhere in the 80s and 90s. I think it's the Battle of Hogwarts is 96. I'm pretty sure it's something 90s. Okay. So this is early 90s, late 80s.
Okay.
And when Harry, I was like, okay, I'm going to leave this life behind and I'm going to go to Hogwarts now and be a witch, wizard. There are things that like people in the 80s and 90s did and existed in without, like, he just goes to this place and, like, never sees a TV again, for example.
Right.
Or, like, never, like, why is no one skateboarding?
Right.
Like, we're not in the 1700s. Like, there's things.
That's the beauty of it.
I know, but it's, I couldn't get over it this time around. I was like, they're in Hogwarts, and I understand, like, okay, it's a bit more medieval, and you know, it's a castle, so, and it's in Scotland or wherever, fine. But it was just, there were so many things, and I was like, why is Harry not like, oh, like phones exist. Like a telephone exists.
Yeah. But what do you mean? He should be phoning the Dursleys?
No, but like he's upset. Okay, well, it's fast forwarding to the second movie. He's upset that nobody writes him over the summer.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
There's a fucking phone. Use the phone.
I see what you're saying.
It's but, the 80s. Like there's phones are from, since the 20s. Even if it was the 50s, phones exist, bro.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. But perhaps the Muggle world and the Wizarding world don't have a phone connection.
Sure. But this is where, okay, so now.
Because why else would they need the owls?
I know. Okay, in the second movie, we meet Arthur Weasley, who is, and he says something that pisses me off so much. He meets Harry for the first time and he goes, please, what is the use of a rubber ducky? You don't have a rubber duck?
Oh.
You don't know what a rubber duck is? But meanwhile, you know what a clock is?
I see.
Like, why do you need a clock?
Yeah, there's a little inconsistency.
That's
with,
what I mean. Like, there's certain...
what the real world has and what the wizarding world has.
Yeah,
because, like, why wouldn't the wizarding world have, like, soccer?
Right.
Their only sport is Quidditch.
Their only sport is Quidditch. And, like, if you know what sports are, like, isn't anyone like, is there another sport other than Quidditch?
Right.
Like, and also, they all are aware of the Muggle world because they had to be separated because of, you know, the difference. They used to be together. They used to live together, the Muggles and the Wizards, years and years and years and years and years and years ago. But then they had to separate. So it's like, where did that...
I see what you're saying.
Well, it still exists. You're still in the 20th century or whatever. You're still around.
Yeah.
There's still phones. Okay, fine. You can't use the fine. The phones don't connect between the wizarding world and the Muggle world. Fine. But like the here we go. This is a great point. This isn't again not until a little bit later in the series, but I'm going to bring this up. I've seen this online. I did not think of this. The Weasleys in their house, they have that clock that's got all of the family members' hands, right?
Okay.
So every hand of the clock is one of the family members, and it's the clock is not numbered, it's places. So it says at work, at home, at school, at whatever. And every family member's little arm of the clock is at whatever location they're at. So at every point, Molly will know
that's kind of
this
creepy.
Is where they are.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's not like I'm in the bathroom. It's like I'm at home. I'm in peril. One of them is in peril. So, like, this person's having a problem. You need to help them.
Okay.
One of them says the dentist.
Okay.
One of them says that it's at the dentist. Meanwhile, Hermione's parents uh-huh. are dentists.
Uh-huh.
And they say they don't know what dentists are. Wizards and witches are say they say, what's a dentist? But well, dentist is imagine, on your clock. So how do you know?
Right. I imagine there would be a spell, right?
For what?
To fix teeth.
So right. So why are you going to the dentist?
Yeah. I know.
There's... Oculus Reparo, baby.
I know. You're right. There are little inconsistencies. You're not wrong.
I just, look.
The biggest problem I have with this series, and someone pointed it out again on TikTok or something, is whatever book it is, you'll tell me which book, that the Ron's pet is actually Peter Pettigrew.
It's the third book, Azkaban.
Yeah. So why don't the Weasley brothers see it on the Martyrs map?
Yeah. Mike said the other day, said something inappropriate, shocking. He was like, so was Ron masturbating in front of this rat this whole time that's actually a person? And yes. I'm like, Michael, the answer do is you yes. have to ruin everything for me?
The and answer like, is yes.
Yeah. And I was like, okay. But yeah, totally accurate.
Yeah, because they would have seen that like Ron's in bed with Peter Pettigrew every night.
Yeah.
So little things like that, it's like obviously J.K. Rowling isn't perfect.
I don't need her to be perfect. And I just like picking at it.
No, but... I know, but I am someone who like it actually does kind of bug me. Even sure. though I'm like, how can we expect her to have everything down perfectly? I'm still like, oh, that bugs me.
I'm willing to watch the movies and just accept. Yeah. I'm willing to enjoy it. I love the movies and I love the books and I love the fucking video game and I love the everything, the fucking but everything.
If someone had pointed that map thing out to me when after I had read the third book, I would have been like, shit, that's so annoying.
Yes. Now I don't care because now it's fun to find
the map. Now we're 35 years old.
Right. There's tons of little things. Like there was, when Mike and I were watching it this time, oh my God, there was just so many things that I was like, that's stupid. That doesn't make any sense. And I love it. Like, I love finding those things. It doesn't ruin the movie for me at this age because I spent 30 years loving it so much.
But the thing, like, the dentist thing, like, that's the filmmaker's fault.
That's not true.
That's not J.K. Rowling's fault. You know what I mean?
Well, we don't know that. It might be in the book. I can't remember.
Maybe it is. Who knows?
But it's just, it's, anyway, in the first one, it's, we'll get back to the first one. I keep going a little bit farther on. But it's just so interesting to me. Just going back to what I said about the Hagrid thing, that Harry literally lived 11 years of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, they were shitty. Sure.
Yeah.
He hated his life. But he lived 11 years of his life at a normal school with the Dursleys in London, in Surrey, whatever they are. And then just accepts that there's this world. Like, he's not at any point in these classes with his mouth, like, with his jaw on the fucking floor. Like, I feel like if I didn't know magic existed for 11 years and then now suddenly I'm like, okay, can you turn this teapot into a cat? I'd be like, what? What?
I know, but again, I'm going back to the fact that he has had moments in his life that don't...
Sure.
That are revealing to him that there's more... Like, talking to a snake
at the
zoo should be a little clue. Either you're mentally unwell... Or there's more to this magic thing.
But even if that happened to me, and then I went and just like, okay, now you live in a castle, and there's just ghosts that just like talk to you, and there's just like,
you
just fly on brooms. It would take the innocence of a child. But he doesn't even have to think twice about it. Like I'm not saying he has to be like screaming in fear, but like. At some stage, he has to be like, this is wild. Like, why is he not being like, why is Miss Brain not melting? He's just like, oh, yeah, Wingardium Leviosa. Like,
yeah, and like when he's walking through like Diagon Alley.
Right.
He's just like, he's looking around in wonder and awe.
Yeah.
But he's not like, holy shit.
He's looking at like, oh, this is, wow, this is great.
He's looking around like,
holy fuck. I'm in a different fucking wall. I just went through a fucking wall.
Yeah.
And now I'm. Like,
I know, but like how...
And I'm walking with a giant?
I kind of like that they just kind of skip that.
Yeah, I know.
Because there's some movies...
But I still can't get over it. Like, even like, oh, by the way, you were like a piece of shit for 11 years and now you're the most famous and well-known wizard in the wizarding world. That's something to get... You have to get over that. Like, you have to get to come to terms with that. You can't just...
He comes to terms with that pretty quick.
That's what I'm saying.
When he's on the train and he totally flexes when he's like... I'll take the lot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he went from this poor kid who had nobody, and all of a sudden he's just like, whips out this bag of gold, and he's like, I'll take the entire trolley, bitch.
So annoying. I'm sorry. Mike and I were watching this time, and there's when he goes down to the, I can't even think of what it's called right now. It's not the Chamber of Secrets, but like where the Philosopher's Stone is, right? Like,
yeah, down in the dungeon
or whatever.
Yeah.
Get an adult. Like at no point. So you just, okay, let me just say this. 11 years, fine. You talk to a snake. Fine, you talk to a snake. You talk to a snake and you did, you might, something weird is in your life. Okay. Then let's accept, okay, you're it's been revealed to you on your 11th birthday that you're a wizard. Okay. Giant takes you, you're going to a wizarding school, fine. Now you're fighting the most dangerous wizard in the wizard world. You're the most famous wizard, and the most dangerous one is after you. Okay.
Well, no adult would have gone with them.
Dumbledore?
He wouldn't have gone.
Why?
I don't know. I feel like they would have been like, that's out of bounds.
I think Dumbledore would have been like, if Harry was like, I'm going down to the dungeons and I'm going to get the Philosopher's Stone. Although they keep saying that Dumbledore is gone. That's fair. But because he goes off to like somewhere and he's going to see Nicholas Flamel or whatever the fuck he's doing. And that's when Harry goes to McGonagall and he's like, we know about the Philosopher's Stone. And she's like, how do you know about that?
Oh, but like, Maggie still,
then McGonagall should go down. Then McGonagall should be like, you know what? I will accompany you. And I'll bring a couple reinforcements.
You know what? Okay, fine. I understand your point of view, but what 11-year-olds are going to be like?
Me.
When I was 11, I wanted to go on adventures with my friends. I didn't want adults around.
To go into, when you don't know that
how
you're
a lame
wizard.
Would this movie be if adults came with the kids?
I agree with you. But just think for realistically and logically for just one moment. You don't know. You're a new wizard. You didn't know wizard magic existed 20
well,
minutes
I mean,
ago.
It's been like a year.
Okay.
By the time
Pardon.
He goes down there.
Oh, for the love of God.
I'm just saying, like, I'm not going to expect this kid who, he's cocky. Harry Potter
he
is cocky.
He is really cocky. The fact he gets, that he thinks, that's what my problem is, I think, is the fact that he doesn't go, I should talk to an adult, but I can fucking deal with this.
Yeah, but he spent his entire life not being able to trust adults.
But now we're in this new place where he can.
Yeah, but Maddie, when you have 11 years of adults abusing you, he's like, I can do things on my own. I don't need McGonagall.
Okay, fine. I'll give that to you. But you're cocky enough to be like...
Oh, he's very cocky.
He's so cocky.
He gets cockier and cockier throughout the series.
Episode four. The fourth movie, which is your favorite, which is hilarious, is the worst for me because he's such a fucking angsty little shit.
Yeah.
And the fifth one. Oh, I hate him then.
It's but that's like, why in the end of the fourth one, he learns that like... His, you know, abilities don't always end in good.
He sucks, man. Harry sucks. I never liked Harry Potter, to be fair. I never liked him as a character. I always liked Hermione and Ron better.
I mean,
I was in love with Ron for a significant part of my life.
I think Harry is just a little bit too noble. It's kind of annoying.
I don't think he's noble. I think he's cocky. I don't think he's noble. I think he's...
Yeah, he's always just, like, saving the day and not asking for help.
Yeah, like, just ask for help. You can't just fight the darkest wizard
I know.
In the world, who killed your parents, by the way.
Yeah.
And just go, like, what makes you think you can do that?
I know.
Buddy?
Okay, I wrote down Snape with a heart. Snape isn't introduced in the movie till like, 45 minutes in. And it's just, like, his presence just shifts the movie. You're just immediately, like... You're so scared of Snape, but you're also so intrigued by him. You're like, his voice, the way he flies into class is like...
At page 394.
He like, the door like swings open. He doesn't even close it behind him.
His cloak is like flying.
I know. He's like, turn to page 4.
Yeah. My favorite, and this is, I'm so sorry. This is the second movie again, but they're teaching dueling at one point, and he and Professor Lockhart are dueling to show it, to give an example. And he goes, Expelliarmus! And Mike and I just watched it, and I repeated that for the next 30 minutes.
He's
I just
so
went,
good.
Expelliarmus! For so long. He said that exactly like
He's
that.
He's so good. He's so
Alan
extra.
Rickman.
Oh!
Is, like, tell me another person. Although I can say, what? Adam, people are saying that in a remake, or I don't know if this is real, the HBO one.
No, we talked about this.
But there's an actual one. I don't know whether or not that Adam Driver might be playing Snape. And I'm like,
this is where we might be in a simulation, you and I. Me and you talked about how a network like HBO should make a dark series
right.
based on the origin of Snape.
Right, and then they're doing it.
A week later, yes, they announced they're doing this. It.
Yeah.
How are you not like, what?
It wasn't a Snape, though. They're doing they're doing an HBO series of the show. It's not about Snape, I don't think, specifically.
Oh, I heard there was a Snape-specific show.
Oh, I don't
show,
fucking know. But it's Adam Driver, is it not?
That's what I heard. And we were just talking about it. I remember. Okay, anyways, I thought that was crazy.
I just think that there's no person on this planet, with the exception of Adam Driver, who could ever play Snape like Alan Rickman. Alan Rickman.
You're right.
They can't remake it because Alan Rickman isn't around.
Yeah.
Maggie Smith is around, but she's not going to be McGonagall again.
Oh, she's old, yeah.
You can't, imagine these characters not by the...
I know.
Even Kenneth Branagh, as I'm going to the second movie again, as Lockhart. Like, name a better person. There's not one.
I know, you're right. And I also remember feeling stressed out when these movies were coming out because I was like...
Finding out?
No, I was just like, there are so many characters and they're all so perfect. And I'm like, I don't want any of them to die.
Oh.
And they have to recast. Of course, they had to do it with Dumbledore. Yeah. But that was actually okay because...
No one gives a shit about Dumbledore.
Well, Dumbledore was just... I feel like he was easier to recast.
It also happened early enough.
Imagine recasting Snape. Like, you can't recast Snape.
Right. And Dumbledore happened early enough that it wasn't...
Right.
It was he was only in the first movie.
Yeah,
first
I was always panicking. I was like, what if, something happens to Daniel Radcliffe? What are we going to do?
You'd be fucked.
Yeah.
That's a huge commitment. It's like 10 years of... But that's the thing, which is really funny, because we watched... Just going to the teenagerdom. We watched these kids... Mike and I have watched the first and the second one, and we've watched these children go through puberty.
I know.
And even the difference between the first and second one, their voices, you're like, oh my God. Like, it's hilarious.
Do you remember watching the trailer for the next installment of the movie? Like, I remember going to a theater and then the trailer for the next Harry Potter would come on, and it would totally freak me out how much older they all look.
Yeah. And even though it was literally not that long later, but because they are going through puberty,
their
voice
are dropping. Emma Watson's freaking boobs are growing.
Can you imagine going through puberty on camera? I'd rather die. And not to mention reshoots. Like, what do you do with reshoots? Their voices are 17 octaves lower. Like,
I
can't imagine. I cannot imagine being a teenager, becoming a teenager on camera.
I know. That would be wild. I was going to ask you about the mirror. How do you say it? Mirror of Erised?
Well, I think it depends on who you are, but I think Dumbledore says it Erised.
Erised. Okay. Yeah. So the mirror of Erised, for those that don't know, is that when you look into it, you see your deepest and most desperate desires of our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious what you think you would see.
Oh, Christ. I absolutely know. That's a hard question.
I mean, you already have a lot of the things that you
would I would just
desire.
See me, I guess. I don't know.
You would just see what?
Me. Like, now, I'm saying. Most of the stuff, I desire, except maybe, with, I don't know, a production company or some shit. But do you know what's really funny? Before you answer yours, Mike pointed out... Well, I've seen this before, but it was re-pointed out when we watched it. Harry goes up and sees his parents, right?
Yes.
His parents died at 21.
Right.
Those actors... are 45.
Oh, I see.
They're not 21.
They're not 21.
I don't need them to be 21. It's the characters. They are significant. They look weathered. And it's so 21. You're out of high school, basically.
Yeah, that's true. But people looked older back then.
That's true. What would you see in the mirror?
I don't know. I think I would see a family and maybe a production company. Yeah. How do you see a production?
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's the thing also is what if your desire is not something that's a physical thing like that? How would you see, I want to be a production. I want to have a production company. How would you see that?
I guess you're just in an office making decisions.
I'm in an office. Ron, what do you see? I see myself in an office.
But maybe you're your name's on the door. I don't know.
I guess.
Maybe you're accepting an award for best production company.
Yeah, I guess so. Best production
company. I don't know.
That's a hard question, though.
I don't know.
That's a really hard question.
I would be curious to know what I would see, because maybe I don't know what my...
That's what I mean, too.
My actual deepest desire is.
Yeah.
Maybe my deepest desire is actually that I want to be an Olympic athlete.
Maybe you're a porn star in it or something. Can you imagine?
My deepest desire.
I'm just having...
Just be railed by strangers.
Railed. Oh my God.
Railed for cold hard cash.
All right.
No judgment, but I don't think it's for me.
Not certainly not in the mirror of Erised.
Dumbledore walks over and is like, ah, yes. the deepest desire of your heart. I'm like, bend over.
Okay.
There was a line that Dumbledore said that actually moved me a little because I think that I suffer from this.
Okay.
He says, if you dwell on dreams, you forget to live.
He said that?
Yeah, and I felt like, oh my gosh, I feel like that's me. I'm always like dwelling on dreams.
On desires.
And forgetting to live.
Being railed.
So uh-oh. That was something that...
Oh, never mind. Sorry. I thought my microphone wasn't working. Sorry. Yeah, that's it. Look, Dumbledore is a quote. He's a quotable man.
He is.
Also, really funny thing about Dumbledore that I've seen online and Mike pointed it out again. In the Creatures of the... Creatures, whatever the fuck. What's the other series called? The one with Eddie Redmayne?
Oh, the Wonderful Beasts?
Or yeah, whatever. What Fantastical Beasts. Whatever the fuck it is.
Wonderful Beasts.
I don't even know what it's called.
Yeah, the Fantastic
Beasts. I've seen all of them, and I don't remember what it's called. I watched the last one. It was boring. But the first one is great.
Okay.
Anyway, Jude Law plays Dumbledore. Have you seen them?
I've seen one.
Okay. So Jude Law plays Dumbledore.
Yes.
In that series.
Yes.
Richard Harris plays Dumbledore in the original series.
Mm-hmm.
The time difference between those two series,
mm-hmm.
in like set time of when this is taking place, mm-hmm. is like 50 years.
Okay.
I don't even think it's 50 years. I think it's like less than.
Okay.
And Dumbledore went from Jude Law to Richard Harris.
Wow.
He aged.
He needed some moisturizer.
Like, it's just, it's really funny. Put him on point. I don't even think it's less than that. I think it's like 10 years.
Oh, wait, what?
Yeah, something ridiculous. Well, I mean, obviously it's, Fantastic Beasts people aren't aiming to have a cast. They're not trying to cast someone who looks like Richard Harris.
I know, but if the difference is only 10 years.
It's something ridiculous. Like, you can find it online. They should
have cast, like, Paul Giamatti or something. I love Paul Giamatti.
Do you think Paul Giamatti is 90 years old?
No, but he's older than Jude Law.
Is he? Hey, Siri.
Actually,
How old is Paul Giamatti? Oh, hey, Siri.
Uh-huh.
How old is Paul Giamatti? 56.
Oh.
Hey, Siri. How old is Jude Law? 50.
Wow.
Jude Law's older!
What? No,
Jude Law's older!
You said 50 and 56.
Oh.
Mentally.
I think I need a nap. Oh my god, that's too
funny.
The way
that you just got so excited and were absolutely incorrect.
Whatever, there's 6 fucking days.
I know, that's a
or
lot
6
less.
Years.
I just was thinking on the spot, okay?
Well, you're wrong.
Okay, Victor Garber, is that a better one?
Victor Garber!
He's gotta at least be 70, that man.
Hey, Siri.
Uh-huh.
How old is Victor Garber?
If he's in his 50s, I'll kill
him. He's not. He's got to be 60. Oh, my lord.
What?
102. I thought he's 74.
Okay, so that was a better example.
Yeah. Great. Let's take... Okay, so Victor Garber should have played Dumbledore in Fantastic Beasts, is what you're saying.
I'm just saying, if the difference of the two worlds is only 10 years, that's atrocious.
It's atrocious.
He must have had some spell put on him, the aging spell, that made him look like he's 200 years old.
Like about to disintegrate.
Seriously,
also, is like 200. Isn't he like 600 years old or something?
I mean, the actor literally croaked.
Carly.
He did.
Hey, Siri. No.
Good afternoon.
Oh, okay.
How old was Richard
Harris? Old was Dumbledore, the character?
Albus Dumbledore died June 30th, 1997 at age 116 in Astronomy Tower.
He's only 116.
He was only 116. And also 97, they said. So that means the Battle of Hogwarts is 2 years later. 98. 99. I can't do math today.
Gosh.
It's fine. How long have we been recording for? Are we done yet?
No, we're not quite done. But I wanted to know how old Richard Harris was when he died.
Hey, Siri.
Uh-huh.
How old was Richard Harris?
When he died.
Well, he's not
Richard
old.
Harris died October 25th, 2002 at age 72 in university. Richard Harris died October...
He died in 2000.
2002.
I'm not okay today. I'm not.
The fact that he was only, what did she say? 72?
He looks...
He looks... I thought she was going to say like 87.
Hey, how old did I say Victor Garber is? 74. He would have been a perfect age to play Dumbledore.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Wow, okay. I'm shocked that he was that young.
Me too.
They must have put some prosthetics on him, because he certainly didn't look 72.
Obviously he did have prosthetics. They weren't just like, also, anyway, I don't even know what's wrong with him.
Okay, so, just a random note. Okay, so, we don't have to go through this movie. Like, basically...
I thought we were done! Okay.
The three main characters, Harry, Ron, and Hermione, realize that there's the Philosopher's Stone that's being hidden in the castle. Mm. It has all these obstacles in its way, so no one can get to the Philosopher's Stone. The Philosopher's Stone's significance is that whoever has it will live forever or something?
Yeah, but you will, it's, okay, so there's, yeah.
Okay. So Voldemort wants it because
He's already been killed. Voldemort has died.
Okay, please explain this.
Okay, so Voldemort, when Harry was born,
yes,
Voldemort went to go kill Harry at his house because he was the chosen child or whatever the fuck.
And he's a Horcrux?
Well, unintentionally.
Oh, okay.
But yes, so he went to kill Harry Potter, but half of his soul went into Harry Potter and it reflected whatever on him and he died. Or okay. Got seriously maimed or injured or whatever. Okay. Voldemort. Then he is now coming back 11 years later in the form of the back of Quirrell's head.
Professor Quirrell.
And he has inhabited Quirrell's body and he is unable to... He needs the stone to become a whole human again.
I understand that. But, like, how does Voldemort's soul find Quirrell and be like, can I live in the back of your head?
I don't explain it. Okay,
we're just going to accept that.
I mean, I'm sure it's explained. I'm sure it's talked about in the book.
Yeah.
And explained a little bit more, but yeah. I don't remember the answer to that.
I also love the idea of Professor Quirrell... Like at night sleeping, he's just sleeping on Voldemort's face.
Maybe he has to be sideways on his side.
Can you imagine he rolls over and Voldemort's like, I can't breathe. Quirrell! Quirrell!
That's so good. Oh my god, he could literally kill Voldemort in 1 second.
Like he's just suffocating. He like sleeps too heavily and then wakes up and Voldemort's dead. He's like, oh shit.
He's just got a dead face on the back of his head. Oh god.
Yeah, the logic is a little lost on me. Like, so say they got the stone. Does Voldemort then just take over Quirrell's body and Quirrell no longer exists?
Probably, yes. Yeah, probably.
And Quirrell just is like, that's fine.
I don't think he really had a choice. Like, I mean, Voldemort can empower a lot of people. Like, he's a powerful man. But also, this is what I also don't like about this. The end of this book never, and story, whatever, I never liked this part. Because, they go to the dungeon, blah, blah, blah. And then we go, Ron, no, Harry, no. What? How does it fucking go? I can't even think. He's going to sacrifice himself! That whole fucking scene that, like, everyone quotes on TikTok all the time now. And then,
not
like,
you!
No, not me! Not Hermione! Oh. You!
Oh, yeah, right.
It's like, he's going to sacrifice himself! No, Ron, no! It's ridiculous. Anyway, they get to the thing. Harry goes, Quirrell's standing there. They thought it was Snape this whole time. Yes. Blah, 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 blah. The Mirror of Erised is there.
Yeah.
It's in the dungeon. And it was one of the obstacles that Dumbledore put down there. Because at one point... So Harry became obsessed with the mirror because he was seeing his parents and he misses his parents.
He's like addicted to it.
He's addicted to his parents.
Addicted to the mirror.
And Dumbledore comes and sees him and is like, we're moving the mirror, so you gotta...
Don't dwell on your dreams, yeah. Harry.
And the future is yours or whatever he says. Yeah. So his plan is to put the mirror downstairs in the dungeon to protect the stone. Though I don't understand why they just don't do that and just put the stone somewhere else. But anyway, that's fine. So the last obstacle of the Philosopher's Stone is that if you can see, this is what I don't like. It was just like a, let's write it in to end it. Like, this is how the solution is. We just find a way to make this a solution. When Quirrell and Voldemort are staring in the mirror and trying to figure out they can see the stone, but they're like, but how do I get it? I see the stone in the mirror. It's what I want. But what does it mean? And then Harry goes and looks in the mirror and he can see the stone and then suddenly it lands in his pocket.
I know. I didn't get that.
Later on, he asks, and Dumbledore, because spoiler alert, he wins or whatever. Yeah. And Voldemort gets like burned alive and Quirrell dies, I suppose.
Yeah.
And he's in the hospital. Harry's in the hospital. And Dumbledore comes and he goes, I don't understand. Why did I get the stone? That's a very valid question.
In my pocket.
And Dumbledore basically is like, people who really want it would see it. Like, that was the code.
His answer was, people who really want it but won't use it are the only ones who get it.
Yeah.
It was like
the mirror knew that you weren't going to use it in a negative way. You were trying to save us all, so here you go.
That was bullshit.
Bullshit!
That was such a bullshit response. I felt the same way last night when I was watching. I'm like, that's the reason.
Yeah. It was stupid. Lame. Yeah. Very lame. Very lame.
One of my final notes is just that the invisibility cloak always stressed me out.
Why?
I didn't like the idea that, like, one of their toes could come out and then their toes visible. Also, it's not, like, a soundproof. So you can still hear them scuffle around.
Yeah.
How was it big enough to cover three teenagers as they're growing?
Right.
They're growing in every movie and it still covers them. I just imagine, like, what if their foot comes out?
Yeah. Also, there's no way.
What if they trip on it and the whole thing falls off?
There's many things. There's no chance. I don't mean to be a pervert here. There's no chance that a developing teenage boy didn't go into the girls' dormitories with that.
Oh, or that's something so true.
Like that. Like, there's no fucking chance that he wasn't just like, I'm just going to a little peek.
You're right.
Cheeky little peek.
He would have looked like, at Cho Chang.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, 100%.
You're right.
But everybody would have. Like, if you're a preteen child and you get given an invisibility cloak.
I certainly would not have used it to see a naked boy.
Least, at the very least, you would do something that you're not allowed to do. Like, you would be like, I'm going to use it to save the Muggle world or the Wizarding world. I'd be like, I'm going to go steal some candy. Like, you know what
but
I mean?
But even then, okay, say you're going to go steal candy. You can't. What are you going to do? Your arm is going to come out from underneath. Suddenly it's just an arm. Like there's so many things.
I know.
There's so many things about the invisibility cloak that I'm just like, it's too much.
It's a lot.
Yeah. I would have preferred if it was like a ring. You put on a ring and you become invisible. Sorry.
Okay, Lord of the fucking Rings, or whatever. That part What's of that, that called? Story? Lord of the Rings? Yeah. What's wrong with me? Yeah, he puts the ring on and he becomes invisible.
Oh, you're right. Well, that to me is less stressful.
That's so stressful. Are you kidding me?
I just think, like, material. Have you ever put a blanket over yourself and tried to walk?
Yes, but this is the thing that pisses me off about the ring, for example, if we're going to get into that. I never liked this kind of shit. When the ring, and this is the same with, like, shrinking and getting bigger, whatever. When the ring touches your hand and you're invisible, are your clothes then invisible? The ring's not touching the clothes.
Oh, so you think you have to wear it naked?
I don't know.
Wow.
But same with, like, you know, when you shrink or when you grow in a movie, your clothes shrink with you, but they didn't touch the thing. Like,
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
Anyway.
These are the things that... that. Just...
This is why we have anxiety. This is the shit that we think about.
I know.
Don't talk to me about math. Talk to me about what the logistical part of the invisibility cloak is.
I genuinely don't know what I would have done with the invisibility cloak. I think it would have stressed me out too much. I would have just hung it up.
I would have just showed off. Like, I would have been like, look at this. Beep.
Yeah, I would have scared my friends.
Yeah, I would have been like.
I would have been like, boo. I'm behind you.
Yeah. I would have tried to, like, trick people. That's all I would have done.
Yeah, you, like, because some people would be like, oh, well, I would, like, you know, go and join the FBI and I would, you know, kill people that are, you know, terrorists and stuff.
It's
too much. You're going to have a gun under the cloak.
Yeah, under a blanket.
And then you're going to have a hole in your cloak.
How do you well, I guess you can see through the cloak. I don't know.
You can see through the cloak, yeah.
But also, like, if you put the cloak on backwards, like, I don't know if, like, one side of the cloak is invisible and the other side isn't.
Well, of course, it's all invisible.
But, like, what side is the one that's reflecting invisibility? All of it? There's a lot of logistical questions here that we could really get into.
You're right.
Mike also is very upset about the broomsticks. He's like, how are their balls not on fire?
Oh, I thought about that too.
And I was like, well, actually, I think they have stirrups. Like little, not stirrups, but little like, what are those called? Like foot. I guess it's stirrup is what they're called.
They don't have a stirrup.
Yes, they fucking do, bro.
The brooms have stirrups?
Yes, they do. When they're old, when they get like, when later on, when they get to like the Nimbus 4000, they have like little like bendy stirrups that you put your feet on. So you're almost like squatting the whole time, which there's the first fucking problem.
Okay.
Imagine playing a 10-day Quidditch match.
Wow, they gotta have a good core.
You got core legs, baby.
Well, core too.
Body. You need to have some muscles.
I have no interest in being on the Quidditch team.
Me neither.
That's too much.
I'd like to fly, but I wouldn't want to.
No, I don't want to be flying around all those bludgers or whatever
they're
called.
No, me neither. No. No.
Okay. My last note.
Okay.
So anyways, they got the Philosopher's Stone and Voldemort dies again.
Yep.
I just thought it was funny that at the very end, it's so mean. The very end is so mean.
What?
Dumbledore is like, Slytherin?
Oh, yeah. Psychotic.
It's psychotic. The flags change to Slytherin. Slytherin is celebrating.
So,
and then
hold on. Wait. Before
I'm
you
not
say,
finished.
The house cup. So there's a house cup and they get points the whole time. All year. It's stupid.
All year. The entire year you get points. You get taken away points.
Yeah, if you're shitty, you get taken away. But that's the first problem is disregarding the ending. These teachers pull these points out of their fucking ass.
I know. One minute it's, oh, you lose 2 points because you ran down the hall. The next minute is you lose 150 points because you were out late.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's like, okay, you fought the troll.
Yeah.
You fought a troll.
Yeah.
And you, like, you were in huge danger, so I'm going to take away 5 points. Right. But you also saved the school, so you can have 2 points.
Right.
Pardon? You saved the school? Like, it's psychotic. And then, anyway, so as you were saying, the whole year they're collecting and losing points.
So then Dumbledore, at the end, he's like, okay, Gryffindor, second place.
No, Gryffindor's last.
Oh, Gryffindor's last.
Slytherin wins. And the whole...
Slytherin wins, they're celebrating.
The whole great hall turns green. It's like screaming. Like, this is a huge deal. I don't know why it's a huge deal.
It's a big, big deal. And then Dumbledore goes, however!
Yeah.
What a dick. Yeah. What an asshole. Yeah, however, after some recalculations, I'm awarding Neville Longbottom...
No, they go. He goes, Harry for doing this. Hermione gets this for this. Ron gets this. And they're tied.
They're tied.
Now they're tied. So Slytherin and Gryffindor are tied suddenly. And then he goes, and Neville Longbottom for standing up to your friends, which is harder than standing up to your enemies. 1 point. Gryffindor, I believe a change of decoration is in order. And then
everything changes to Gryffindor.
Changes, and it's like the Slytherins throw themselves off a bridge.
So mean.
Like, why didn't Dumbledore just do those calculations in advance? It is so over the top.
I mean, if I were Slytherin.
You win! Whoa!
Everyone's
but wait.
Losing.
Wait, I've got one
Hold
more,
on, however!
One more thing to say.
I was just like, that is so rude.
It's actually
the flags
weirdest.
Change color. Basically, it's like Slytherin.
It's basically like Dumbledore just took a giant shit on Slytherin.
The biggest dump.
And they wonder why Slytherin's a bunch of bullies. Because the headmaster is a favorite, like, has favoritism.
Severe favoritism.
Yeah. Like.
Severe.
Like, delusional. You even say it at the beginning of the movie when they're getting sorted.
Yeah.
You kind of mentioned this to me off air, but you know, every kid has to go up and get sorted into a house, blah blah blah, and it's like Hannah Brown, and then Dumbledore's doing like little golf claps.
Yeah,
Hermione Granger,
golf claps,
and then they're like Harry Potter, and Dumbledore like stands up and is like clapping for this guy, and I'm like, bro, like make it like just be discreet.
Yeah, be like a little more discreet that you're not in love with Harry Potter.
Yeah. He's, like, literally, like, screaming at the front. and meanwhile, everyone else got, like, fucking... Also, well, anyway, it doesn't matter. I could say there's just so... Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's very big favoritism.
I know. Okay. That's the end of my notes.
Didn't even have notes.
I know. We did well. We just talked for an hour and 8 minutes.
Talking.
Let's just do our weekly crushes quickly here.
Okay.
I mean, it's got to be something Harry Potter related.
My weekly crush is Rupert Grint because I was really, truly like Rupert, if you ever listen to this, I'm not dangerous anymore. But I probably was at one point.
I mean, the stories I've heard.
I was in love with him to the point, I've mentioned this before, where I highlighted the word Ron.
I know.
In my book.
Every page.
I don't think I did it for all of them. I think I just did it for the first one. And I counted at the end of every chapter how many times the word Ron was mentioned. That's unhinged.
I'll say that my weekly crush is... There's so many great actors in this, but I'm going to go with Alan.
I was hoping you would. Good job.
Snape is my favorite character.
He's amazing.
Also, before I watched the movie and I only was reading the books... I was pronouncing it Hermione.
You're not alone.
Oh, really?
No, absolutely not. That's a fucked up name. Like, nobody knew that name before the show, before the movies.
Well, I hope that we review the second one, because this was fun.
Yeah, let's review all of them, for fuck's sake. I love it.
I know.
Yeah, okay, cool. Well, there you go. Thank you for listening, everybody. And we love you. And thank you to Eric and Kevin Smale for the theme song.
Yes, thank you. And check us out on Instagram. We don't
really ever post, but that's fine.
You know, we go through waves.
Yeah. I get so motivated sometimes and I'm like, boom, 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 boom. And then I'm like, I'm not going to touch it for the next year.
I know. Social media is so hard.
I know.
I really struggle with it.
I hate it.
Okay. Well, we'll see you next week.
Stay dirty.
And by next week, I mean, I don't know. Who knows?
Well, you'll see us sometime.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye.